Well, we are very nearly past the point of no return. We're about to lose Western civilization, and really most of the civilized world, depending on what happens in the next 24 hours. Our future could be very grim. So welcome to the special analysis. I'm Mike Adams of naturalnews.com and brightvideos.com. And if you've been paying attention to what's going on, I hope you have. Over the weekend, there was a mad escalation where it started out with Iran saying that the U.S. must withdraw from the region, must shut down every base in the Middle East, all of which are mostly destroyed, well, most of which. Anyway, that the U.S. must pay reparations to Iran for all of the damage that has been done, and that effectively the U.S. must end hostilities and surrender to the terms of Iran, including ironclad guarantees that the U.S. and Israel will never attack Iran again. So, basically, there was terms of surrender of the United States and Israel. And then, in response to that, Trump issued a 48-hour ultimatum. Now, this happened on Saturday night. So, it comes due tonight, Monday night. That if Iran doesn't, within 48 hours, open the Strait of Hormuz completely, then the U.S. is going to start obliterating Iranian power plants to destroy the civilian power infrastructure of Iran. Trump promised to start with the biggest ones first, by the way. Okay. So that's, you know, that's civilian infrastructure. Just like we've seen in Cuba, with the grid down in Cuba, people are dying in hospitals because they're on ventilators. And when you don't have power for the ventilators, well, they don't ventilate and everybody dies. And that's what's happening. So Trump is promising to do that. And that makes Trump a war criminal, by the way. You know, you're not allowed to bomb civilian infrastructure, by the way, and hospitals, etc. But hey, you know, it's Trump and it's Israel. They are war criminals. They do whatever they want. So in response to that, then, Iran put its own response out and said, well, if you attack our power grid, then we are going to destroy all energy and water infrastructure throughout the entire Gulf region and Israel. In other words, Iran responded by saying, you know, we'll destroy the entire civilian infrastructure that keeps Israel alive and that keeps the Gulf states alive. Because remember, without water desalination, those Gulf states cease to exist. And in all, there are about 100 million people in those countries from UAE, Bahrain, Kuwait, etc. Qatar, obviously. And 100 million people depend on water desalination. It looks like there's going to be a humanitarian crisis that we've never seen before. I mean, maybe, I don't know, since World War II, I'm not sure. And then following that, there was apparently a fake post by Donald Trump. It's not really him. Somebody faked it, and or he's deleted it, one or the other, where he is claiming that if Iran does that, that it would be a huge mistake, and that would be a weapon of mass destruction. And if Iran did that, then, quote, we may have to respond with such weapons of our own. I pray I never have to do it, but I will not hesitate, etc. Anyway, that might not be real, but Iran apparently thought it was real, and maybe it was real. Maybe Trump walked it back. Who knows? Iran responded to that one more time. And apparently, well, not officially responding, but a top-level analyst with ties to the IRGC said that Iran has the capability of collapsing the U.S. power grid through cyber warfare so that Iran hackers can breach much of the U.S. power grid infrastructure and they can bring it down, which maybe wouldn't be that hard because the U.S. power grid seems to be on the verge of bringing itself down on any given day. You know what I mean? And it does fail, or we have near failures with some regularity, it seems. So, in essence, Iran is threatening to plunge the U.S. into a total blackout of darkness. I'm not sure they have that capability, but that threat is emerging, although not from official channels, in response to the U.S. plunging Iran into darkness. And Iran would plunge Israel into darkness and plunge all the Gulf states into darkness and would specifically destroy the entire power grid infrastructure, which is the bigger deal here. This is why we're almost past the point of no return. So let's see. In Kuwait, 90% of all drinking water comes from desalination. In Saudi Arabia, 70% of the water comes from that. In Israel, it's 75% dependent on desalination. And it goes on. Oman, Bahrain, Qatar has about half of its water comes from desalination. So we're talking 100 million people. 100 million people who would be impacted by that. That would create a massive humanitarian crisis and would cause refugees to flee the area. So to add more details to this, by sometime tonight, Trump is promising to bomb Iran's power grid, which, as I understand it, is very decentralized. There's not just one giant power plant that fuels the whole country, of course. It's a country of 90 million people. It's very large. There are a lot of different power plants, and they're spread out. So it's very dispersed. And in order to bomb them all, the U.S. would have to put its own aircraft in high-risk situations, which maybe that's the plan. I suppose we'll see. But if that happens, Iran will retaliate by destroying, let's see, what is this, the Ras Al Khair desalination plant in Saudi Arabia, the Shuqaiq power plant in Saudi Arabia. They're going to hit the power grid in Qatar. Oh, and then they're going to hit the Ras Laffan power, the natural gas plant, as we've already seen. And we've talked about that last week. They're going to hit other, well, there's a long list here. There's several more on the list. I'm not going to go through them all. But it's even going to affect Jordan, apparently. Jordan's power grid would be largely offline because of this. So, understand that Iran is not in a position where they can submit to Trump's demands. If they give up and reopen the Strait of Hormuz, then they lose everything they fought for. And this is the existential war right now. Oh, and I forgot to tell you that Iran's initial announcement also apparently had some level of official support from China and Russia. Not quite a mutual defense treaty, but something, although I haven't seen the documents myself, but something on the order of China and Russia stating publicly that they are providing aid and support to Iran to make sure that Iran does not collapse. Okay. So Iran cannot give in to America's demands. And Trump is psychologically unable to agree to Iran's demands because Trump cannot take a loss. And if Trump gives up now and leaves the area, then Iran controls the strait forevermore. And they will extract a toll on the strait, you know, $1 million or $2 million roughly per ship that wants to transit. In fact, a tanker was allowed to transit to Japan because Japan paid $2 million, I believe. And then some other ships were allowed to transit because they're paying for the cargo in yuan, not the dollar. So the petrodollar is getting hammered, and ships are only allowed to pass if they're either friendly nations' ships, you know, friendly to Iran, or if they pay, seems like $1 to $2 million in crypto or, you know, gold or wire transfer. I don't know. How do you pay? How do you pay Iran for your ship when Iran is totally sanctioned? I guess you got to pay in crypto. So that's a lot of crypto. So the bottom line here is that Iran can't back down and Trump won't back down. And Trump has lost his mind at this point. He's mad. And he needs to be removed via the 25th Amendment. That's clear because he is on this escalation ladder that is going to end with the collapse of the world economy. And he just won't back down. He just, you know, and all the people supporting him, Lindsey Graham, etc., they just won't back down either. They're all in. Netanyahu, if he's even still living, which is doubtful, who knows. But Israel won't back down. None of them. It's like they want the end of the world. And of course, that's exactly what they want. They want the destruction of energy infrastructure. They want the world to go into famine and collapse, because it's through that that they can initiate their great taking, and they can steal everybody's assets and have an excuse for it. Let me give you a little bit more detail of what Iran promised to do if Trump makes good on his threat to bomb Iran's energy infrastructure. There are four main points of this that are being reported by Al Jazeera. Number one, again, this is if Trump starts to bomb Iran's power grid. Number one, the Strait of Hormuz will be completely closed and will not reopen until Iran's power plants are rebuilt. So that's a multi-year process. Good luck then to the Western world, because for multiple years you won't get any energy. And by the way, did you know that Taiwan Semiconductor needs helium and natural gas in order to function? And Taiwan is down to, I don't know, estimates are 10 days or less of natural gas energy in their supply. It might be more like 7 days. Who knows? I mean, we're trying to get the best information we can, but details are kind of sketchy right now. But you realize if the Strait of Hormuz stays closed, there will be no more microchips for your GPUs, your AI data centers, for computers, you know, microprocessors of all kinds, for everything from cars to, you know, military systems and computing and telecommunications and hospital and medical systems, etc. That will all be offline. And at that point, GPUs for AI will become unobtainium. No more in the pipeline. In addition, Iran threatens to then destroy, quote, all power plants and the energy and information technology infrastructure of Israel, which means they're going to bomb Israel's remaining data centers and all of Israel's remaining power plants. Seems like there's about 10 or 12 of them, something like that. One of them is, I think, a nuclear facility. Apparently, they're all going to get bombed and destroyed, according to Iran's threat here. Iran goes on to say that all companies in the region that have American shareholders will be completely destroyed. Whoa. So that means, I think they're talking about like Aramco and some of these oil companies that are in, let's say, Kuwait or Saudi Arabia that have large U.S. companies as investors, like Chevron, you know. There's many examples of this. I don't know the details because I'm not in that industry. But basically, Iran is saying they're going to destroy every company that has large American shareholders. And then power plants in regional countries hosting U.S. bases will also be considered legitimate targets. You got it? So that means, it's like we said, the whole power grid of the region will be gone. Water desalination, gone. Israel's power grid, gone. Data centers, gone. Energy infrastructure, gone. You know, this would be the total destruction of Qatar Energy, the destruction of Saudi Arabia's oil fields. And if that were to happen, we would go through a decade of collapse and famine, economic collapse, mass starvation, civil revolts, uprisings, basically every bad Mad Max scenario you can imagine, with some countries doing better than others. The U.S. would probably fare better than most, actually. Europe would do horribly. Many Asian nations would not do very well, like Japan, Taiwan, South Korea, etc. A lot of African nations, they would suffer mass starvation. South American nations would be impacted dramatically. Australia is already facing fuel scarcity, as you know. Canada, of course, would be strongly impacted as well. So we are looking at We're looking at Armageddon, global Armageddon here, and Trump keeps escalating. Why is Trump pursuing this? Because he's insane at this point. And also, Iran threatens to cut the undersea internet cables to bring down the global internet, which is possible. Did you know that 30% of all the world's internet traffic goes through the Strait of Hormuz? Yep, that's right. And 20 major cables run through the Strait of Hormuz, and the strait is not very deep. They had to dredge out the channels where the big ships go. The rest of it's not that deep. It's only maybe a couple hundred feet deep, which isn't very deep for, I mean, even human divers can go down there and plant explosives. So Iran is going to cut the internet cables. That means that the internet across the entire Middle East and a lot of South Asia and so on, it's all going to go down, the banking systems, crypto offline, all the Amazon AWS cloud services collapse. Modern civilization is stripped away from three different continents, and it would take who knows how long to repair that. Not just a couple of days, not a week. That region of the world could go dark very quickly. Meanwhile, the USS Gerald R. Ford, which was said to have had a laundry room fire, I've seen some pictures. I don't know if they're real. You never know. I mean, actually, I saw a video. Looked like a big part of the back end of it had burned up. Something much larger than just a laundry room fire. Looks like it got hit by an exploding drone or something. Who knows? Apparently, this ship is going to require 14 months of repairs. 14 months of repairs. So that's out of commission. Didn't take that long, did it? Right. Oh, by the way, the stock market is going to absolutely crater today, probably. Almost certainly. And insiders are selling stocks like crazy right now because they know what's going to happen. We're talking about a global economic collapse. We are beyond the point of no return. It's going to get bad. So we have been brought to the brink of total destruction of Western civilization as we know it. And, you're probably, you listening to this, you're well informed, far better than most. Obviously, the oblivious masses have no idea what's coming. But you know that if this threat proceeds, and if all these power structures get destroyed, especially the natural gas in Qatar, then the Strait of Hormuz is not going to open potentially for years. And the world's energy-hungry economies collapse. There's just no way around it. And so that means, I mean, my goodness, stock market collapse, industrial collapse, microchip collapse. There goes the so-called AI bubble. The data centers won't be able to function. Power grids won't be able to function. Engineered global famine. Potentially billions will starve to death over the coming years. And I walked through that last week with all the details about the Haber-Bosch process and how to use natural gas to create nitrogen-based fertilizers. And why that's critical. So this is cause and effect, okay? This is a domino effect. And if Trump proceeds with this, then the economic destruction cost to America will be unprecedented. It will be, there's nothing like it in American history. Nothing like it. The only thing close to it in world history might be what Japan looked like, or maybe what Germany looked like at the end of World War II when the U.S. firebombed Dresden. Also another war crime right there, killing hundreds of thousands of civilians. Or when the U.S. bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki in World War II and the aftermath of that in Japan. Those two scenarios are probably the only thing that could compare to what's coming, which is absolute devastation of modern economies. Absolute devastation. And we will go into a dark era. Very dark. And what that means is that most of the people in Western countries will lose everything because they don't have backup plans. They don't have gold and silver. And even though prices have been, of course, crashing, that's not forever. That's going to turn around as the currency collapse accelerates even more. So hold on to your metals. I'm holding on to metals. But the average person is not prepared. They don't have backup storable food. They don't have much of anything, really. They don't have emergency medicine. They don't have off-grid anything. They depend entirely on the grid, and they depend on the financial system. And the financial system is going to crater. The petrodollar is headed for collapse. The power grid will be unstable, maybe cyber-attacked. It's all going to be bad. So let us hope that Trump is just bluffing, because there's still a chance right now where he could walk back from this, from the edge of Armageddon. But you know who's pushing him in all of this is, of course, the end times apocalyptic Zionist lunatics who want Armageddon. They want end times. This is on their map. You know, this is on their bucket list. They don't mind dying because they think they're dying for Jesus or something as they kill off the whole world, you know? So yeah, they're lunatics and they're evil. The Zionists are Satanists and they have total control over the White House, and they're leading us to the end of the world as we know it. That's exactly what's happening. So this deadline is supposed to be around 7:45 p.m. this evening, Eastern time. And if Iran doesn't apparently completely surrender, then Trump is going to start bombing its power plants. And knowing Trump, even that schedule is just a cover story for what he's actually planning to do, which is something very different. Maybe dropping nukes or something. That's not going to go over well with Russia and China, by the way, maybe even North Korea. So next we'll talk about what you need to do to get ready for the end of the world. So let's talk about preparedness for what's coming. It really is going to get bad if Trump pulls the trigger on this. And I mean bad for years, for many years. Worse than anything that any of us have lived through. And, you know, there are obvious things that you can do right now. Obviously, you know, make sure you're squared away with water filters and garden seeds and stored food, gasoline or diesel, etc. A lot of people are going out and buying EVs right now. EV sales are exploding. Trump turns out to be the best EV salesman of all time. And that might be a good option for many people. Just remember, the insurance is very expensive on EVs. But at least you don't have to buy gas, right? I mean, you just get it off the power grid. But the power grid itself may be unreliable as well, so you need a generator. And if you don't have a generator, you should get one now before the mad rush, you know, before the masses wake up. Right now, very few people are aware of any of this, as a percentage of the population in America anyway. So you can still go out and get generators. Now, as you know, I strongly advocate diesel generators. They're more expensive by far. They're, you know, heavier typically. They're larger. It might be overkill in your situation. But the diesel fuel stores for many, many years, so it's a much more reliable source of fuel, and it's also safer to store. So the way I run things is I have a diesel generator, I have a diesel storage tank, I have a diesel truck, I have diesel ranch equipment, like side-by-side equipment. Everything is diesel. And, you know, a diesel tractor. So I keep everything diesel. I'm trying to go solar, but the battery technology just isn't available yet. Although there was an announcement made by an American company with some unique lithium iron phosphate technology that supports rapid charging. And it's from a company out of Dallas, by the way. I'll cover that in a separate report. So I'm rooting for that. But that's not being manufactured. That's just more sort of on the pilot stage. You can also get, of course, from our sponsor, the Satellite Phone Store, You can get solar generators, SAT123.com, or I think they also have BeReady123.com. And solar generators are a good idea. You can lay out some solar panels. You can charge up the device, and then that device can charge, you know, your phone, maybe a laptop. It can run small refrigerators or small appliances, things like that. And then, of course, make sure you've got cash. Make sure you've got some silver coins for barter, etc. Make sure you're squared away with all the obvious stuff. You know, your flashlights and batteries and candles if you'd like to use those. Whatever. Emergency cook stove, things like that. But that's not going to get you through 10 years. That's only going to get you through a short-term crisis. And if Trump pulls the trigger on this, it looks like it's going to be a very long-term crisis. Not anything that's over even in 1 year. And in the long run, it means that we have to shift our lifestyles. We have to become more decentralized. We have to learn to live more off-grid. We have to grow more of our own food and make our own medicine, things like that. And look, people are not prepared for that at all, especially not Americans. They can't imagine that, and they're not even aware that any of this is happening. But the good news is that if you want to get things like a pressure canner or a food dehydrator, etc., these things are still available in the supply chain right now. And they probably won't be very quickly once this war goes full tilt, if it does. And I hope it doesn't. But if it does, then people are going to go bonkers for everything. Speaking of that, our sales are skyrocketing from my own store, healthrangerstore.com, and we have our customer appreciation sale that was extended because of this situation. It's extended through tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Central, so all day today and all night tonight, you can take advantage of it, and it ends tomorrow. It's healthrangerstore.com/appreciate, and if you go there, we've got iodine. We've got storable food. We've got number 10 cans with freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, all laboratory-tested, almost everything certified organic. So take advantage of that. Get all the supplies that you might need to help you through the situation. And don't forget that we also have garden seeds. So it's a good time to start growing food. Even if America isn't the hardest hit, and it won't be until the next growing season. So right now in America, it's spring planting time. I saw some statistics. It looks like nitrogen fertilizers are down about 25% from where they have been in previous years. That's significant, but it's not catastrophic yet in America. That means we'll have some food for the next season, you know, by summer, let's say, although it will be more expensive. It will be more scarce. And there will be other countries desperately trying to purchase food that's grown in America, and that will drive up prices for all of us. But by the time the fall planting season comes around, it's unclear whether there's going to be any fertilizer at all for the fall. And if you don't have fertilizer, your crop yields plummet by about 50% on the same acreage. So imagine a 50% drop in the supply chain of food. That would be catastrophic for even for America, not to mention many other countries around the world. Absolutely catastrophic. So it is critical to have a backup food supply, but more importantly, think about what you can grow. Think about even sprouting, you know, in mason jars. That's simple, and it can supplement your diet, and you don't have to dig in the dirt, right? Because unfortunately, we don't have our weed-pulling robots yet that I've been asking for. And so gardening is just going to be a lot of hard work. And gosh, Americans aren't ready for that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be on my knees crawling around pulling weeds every day. That's why I want a robot to do that. But if that's what it takes to be able to eat, then, well, you know, that's what we're going to have to do. So it's a good idea to start planting and start growing and start visiting farmers markets and start becoming a member, if you're not already, of your local CSA, Community Supported Agriculture, or other food co-ops, etc. You're going to have to help support local farmers so that we can all get through this together. In terms of finances, although don't take this as professional financial advice, but I would want to get everything out of the banks or the stock market or investment funds or anything that has counterparty risk. Anything that has counterparty risk, I would get it out. And I have done so, by the way. What doesn't have counterparty risk? Well, gold and silver and private crypto. I wouldn't use Bitcoin. I would only use privacy-oriented crypto. But gold and silver are by far the best forms right now. And with their prices really strongly suppressed because of the economic implications of this war, you know, the prices are down substantially right now, especially for silver, down like 30%. And I don't think it's going to stay in this range forever. It may still drop a little bit more, but I think gold and silver are going to skyrocket as currency devaluation accelerates, because that's what's coming. We're going to have a massive amount of money printing for bailouts, for collapsing institutions and collapsing hedge funds, you know, et cetera, and collapsing banks because of the, you know, commercial real estate collapse and residential real estate collapse. Foreclosures are really accelerating in the United States as well. So government currency printing is going to go ballistic. They'll be printing currency to fund the military, printing currency to bail out banks. And the more they print, and maybe printing currency to hand out to people, but the more they print, the higher gold goes, and then it eventually yanks silver along. Although silver will probably lag behind because of the industrial lack of demand, because of the lack of energy. So I suspect silver will be suppressed as long as the Strait of Hormuz is closed, whereas gold isn't as directly impacted by that. So this is actually a time when I think we're going to see gold outperform silver during this this war, this Armageddon, whatever it ends up being. So, but again, don't take it as investment advice. That's just my overall idea. But I was right saying that silver was going to plunge. I called that correctly, and sure enough, that's exactly what happened, because silver is an industrial metal in addition to a monetary metal. So yes, silver is going to be suppressed. However, if you want to take advantage of the lower prices, then check out our sponsor, you know, metalswithmike.com, and that's Battalion Metals, co-founded with Tucker Carlson. So, you know, honest brokers if you want to get some metals. But I would just make sure you don't leave currency in banks, in the stock market, in any kind of funds. I think they're going to declare force majeure, frankly, many of them. I think some of them are going to fail. I think there's going to be banking bail-ins. I think we're going to have the great taking. And you know what the best way is for them to not take it from you during the great taking? Is don't have it in a digital form that they can easily confiscate by typing in some keys on a computer somewhere. Instead, if you have gold and silver in your hands, the only way for them to take it is to come and take it. That's a much more difficult task for, you know, lazy government workers. I'm not going to go out there and take people's gold at gunpoint. Yeah, probably shouldn't. That would be a bad idea. Now, it's being reported right now that the U.S. has already started striking Iran's energy grid in southern Iran. That's a day ahead, or almost a day ahead, of what Trump promised. So I don't know if this is the warm-up round or what this is, but yeah, big bombs are going off right now in southern Iran that's affecting its energy grid. At the same time, Professor Mirandi, who is an Iranian citizen, he's been well represented on a lot of interviews and YouTube channels. He is warning residents of Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, and the UAE to flee, because he says that if Trump makes good on his threat, that the entire infrastructure of the Gulf dictatorships that have been complicit in this war against Iran, that their infrastructure is going to be obliterated. But I don't know that 100 million people can flee. In fact, I'm pretty sure they can't. So, you know, all the years that I've said, stock up, you know, stack gold and silver, stock up on food, have a backup supply, food, emergency medicine, ammunition, garden seeds, you know, backup energy. All the years I've done the books, I've put them out for free, and I've done the new audiobooks now at brightlearn.ai. It's all coming down to this moment that is going to be the end of the world as we know it if Trump proceeds with this. So whatever preparedness plans that you've already taken action on, you know, pat yourself on the back because you're well situated. Now, on top of all of this, by the way, analyst Martin Armstrong says that there's a 60 to 75% chance that Israel will use tactical nuclear weapons on Iran. If that happens, Colonel Douglas McGregor has warned that Russia is promising to nuke Tel Aviv. Wow. To nuke Israel. So we could see Israel nuked within the next couple of days. My goodness. Gold is plummeting in after-hours trading down below $4,350 an ounce. These, in my view, are short-term plunges, really buying opportunities to get out of the system and get into gold and silver at a discount compared to where it's probably going. But again, don't take that as financial advice. That's just that's my perception of it. Again, it could still go lower for a while, but it's not going to stay there forever. So that's where we stand right now. Remember that you can catch my updates, my podcast, my interviews at brightvideos.com, and you can read my articles and see my infographics at naturalnews.com. And I'm wishing you all the best at making it through this. If the worst case happens, I don't know how long we're going to be on the air. I don't know how long the power grid's going to function. Do what you can now, while you can, and I'll do my best to keep in touch with you, but things could get very dark very, very quickly. We are on the edge of Armageddon and about to fall into the abyss is what it looks like. So we'll see. All right. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Be well.
Stock up on the long-term storable Ranger Bucket Set. 536 servings of clean organic superfoods for your survival pantry. Certified organic and lab tested for purity. Order now at healthrangerstore.com.